This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1, 3, and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and Sportsmap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell till 9:30. Raheel joins us at 9 live from Kingwood Country Club out here in Kingwood. It's occupied Kingwood, right? Don't we own it? We own these people? I think we do.
Dell, are we comfortable saying that in yes. this day and time?
Yes. Yes, we are, because we annexed, we took them over. And there are biznatches. Kingwood is our biznatch right now. And here we are, live at the Bad Pants Open. Once again, we've done this Bad Pants Open how many years? About 80?
Man, a lot since its inception.
Since its inception.
Were there some years we missed?
Yeah.
I feel like there were some
but
years
we've done, I don't think there's any question, we've done more Bad Pants Open than anyone
for
in history.
For the very first year, they wear really bad pants here. I don't even know where you get them. The very first year...
You used to get them at Harold's in the Heights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every once in a while I see Daryl.
I think we wore bad pants the very first year. Maybe we didn't. Maybe I'm just.
No, well, it was as bad as we had.
Yeah, it wasn't great. But
no.
Of the people who are out here getting, you know, in this tournament, it's just really, really. I don't know who came up with the idea, but it's kind of funny to watch
Moose
everyone.
Moose and Harold, and remember?
I feel like Mike Armstrong was heavily involved at that
Mike
time.
Mike Armstrong, too, absolutely.
We're just reminiscing about things that many of you won't know about, but but it's for a great cause, and we will
Moose
tell you about
join
it
us.
Along the day. Moose Rosenfeld, the guy, John and I got started because of Dickie Rosenfeld.
Right.
You used to hear Jim Rome talk about Dickie, because Dickie got Jim Rome on. In Houston, he brought the Beatles to Houston. He was in charge of the Love You Blue rallies, like that was his concept. Love You Blue rally in the Astrodome. That was Dickie Rosenfeld who was the guy who was in charge of Hudson and Harrigan. He started that at KILT, and then he brought me and John to 610.
We got me and you and Elvis.
And Elvis, yep. And Hudson and Harrigan.
And the Beatles too, right?
And the Beatles, all the big
names.
Yeah,
all the big names. The biggest
Beatles. Elvis, Hudson, and Harrigan.
Well, I wouldn't include Hudson and Harrigan. Just me, you, and the Beatles, and Elvis. And all of this is all for Texas Children's Neonatal,
right?
For premature babies, and the work that they do is unbelievable. We'll talk to that. One of the guys that we're going to talk to today, Adam Law, had his twins there. Remember, Les Fox every year joins us. You'll remember Les when you see him. He joins us every year. His daughter was also, and she now works for Texas Children's.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and I believe for the neonatal. So, pretty cool stuff. comes full circle. So here we are live out here, and if you come on by, come see us. Much better. We were here last year. It was freezing, and we didn't actually – we weren't able to set up. We didn't.
Freezing in October?
It was cold. It was cold, bro.
Dude, I don't know.
And it came out
that.
Of nowhere, so none of us were ready. We were just all out here shaking.
We had a cool front come through yesterday, which has got us in the upper 60s right now. You'll actually be in the low 70s in Houston. It's a little cooler north, but – it's nice. A bunch of humidity.
This isn't cold weather.
Is good.
This is fine.
This is going to be really
especially
good.
Especially since
weather.
It's going to be 80s today. Well, 80s is perfect.
Over the next 2 weeks, it looks like it's going to be really good.
Are you okay with 80s or is that?
Oh
too
yeah,
hot for you?
I'm on my patio now. I'm going to be on the patio having drinks, watching the Astros, and I'm going to be doing all that stuff. I'll be out there grilling. This is perfect patio. Oh,
okay,
weather.
So let me ask you this question. Do you think Chris Sale was right in this? Here's what he said. It's a lot better to be on the winning side. Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, I would agree with that,
I've said all along I try to learn from every experience and learn, obviously, from my mistakes. My first go at it was god-awful, as bad as it could possibly get. Going through that made me better for this situation here and hopefully going forward. I look at a lot at what happened the first time around and obviously try to flip the script, and here we are. He was asked specifically what he learned from the postseason a year ago.
So that was his first time last year, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And this is what, he was with the White Sox before that, remember? And
they
suck.
Nothing going on.
Sale was asked what he specifically learned from the postseason a year ago, and he said this: don't suck. Seriously, man. It was a very humbling experience. I don't know that that's going to really carry you. Here's the deal, is you're Alex Bregman's biznatch.
Yeah, I think everyone is.
Yeah, and now Alex Bregman, the way he's swinging it, good Lord. I mean, it's even must be even worse. But
I wouldn't bet against Chris Sale. I wouldn't bet against the Astros lineup. It's a great matchup. It was a highly anticipated matchup. Look, to beat the Astros, I mean, first and foremost, I think it does help to have a power arm. I don't think you're going to beat them with a lot of junk at the plate, because when you miss your spot, they're going to hit you hard. So when you look at the pitchers who have had success, you know, against the old Astros, you just needed a right-hander with a hard-breaking slider, and the Astros were finished. Against this unit, I think you really do need somebody who can go up and down in the zone with that fastball and, you know, really challenge them. Now, Bregman can hit a fastball. That's not a problem at all. But I do think power arms give you the best chance against the Astros, but that's, you know, I can also
wasn't it
to
his slider
and
that beat him last year, that Bregman hit last year too, though? Because he knew it was coming?
Probably was. Yeah. The other day, Bregman hit a fastball out of the park. I mean, there's not pitches Bregman doesn't hit.
If
you miss, he's going to hit you hard.
And if you miss just off the plate, he's not going to swing. This dude has got an amazing, amazing eye.
I don't know. Maybe it's the junk ball. I'm trying to think because I don't know that you can't just go through their lineup with a bunch of fastballs. And
who, the Astros?
I'm trying to think of what kind of pitcher
gives them the most trouble?
Yeah, because they can hit. I mean, look, anytime you have somebody with a really good – anybody who can go with a good fastball and a good a tight slider or even a straight change off of it is going to potentially have success because it's going to change up, you know, the rhythm of the hitter. But I don't know. It's hard to – I guess that's what makes this team so great is you can't just say this kind of pitcher beats the Astros. I can't really think of a type right now.
No somebody that they'd have a lot of problems. No.
Hit one like Gary Sheffield said, the Astros hit ones. Like they've got hitters who hit ones.
Okay.
Not just twos and threes.
All right. I just want to go through this. We got a little bit of time here. We got about 5 minutes left in this segment. So I want to go through this. Okay, Sale against Verlander. Okay.
Yeah.
In Fenway.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically a coin flip.
Yeah.
It's basically a coin flip. Yeah. Although,
I mean, when you look at the Astros as a road team, one of the great road teams.
Advantage Astros.
But
they're a great home team.
The Red Sox are a great
home team. But the Astros ain't afraid to win there. They won there at the end of last year.
Two or three at the end of this year.
At 2 or 3 at the end of this year. 3 out of 4 at the end of last year. And they beat them 1 out of 2 when they went there in the playoffs last year. Fenway don't bother them. Sale doesn't bother him.
I'm still guessing Sale's a 145 favorite, 140 favorite maybe.
Oh, no.
He's not?
No.
I would still make.
I'm pretty sure the Astros are a small favorite here.
On the road?
I'm
no
way. Sure.
Against a 108 win team? There's just no way.
Let me just. Well, just hold on there, Lance. And the Astros are a slight favorite in that game. Well, they started a slight favorite in that game. And
that's pretty shocking.
And I believe they're a slight favorite in the series as well, which is just crazy, crazy talk.
Yeah, I don't. I'd be surprised by that.
Well, you may be surprised.
Maybe I'll be surprised, but maybe I won't be.
Maybe you won't be.
I'm looking right now.
So let's see at Major League playoffs.
I got the Red Sox are -115.
-115.
Yeah.
The Astros in the series.
And to win the series, the Astros are -150.
I got 140.
Wow.
I got, well, the Astros are -105.
For what?
So for the game.
Well, yeah, but the Red Sox are the favorite.
115. -115.
They're basically not giving.
It's
you
basically.
Any. They're making you pay for both sides.
Right. It's basically a pick 'em.
Yeah, it really is.
It really is.
And then for the series, though, the Astros basically 1.5 to 1. I got to tell you, I'm surprised the Sharps aren't on the Red Sox just for the value of the home field.
Yeah.
I would have guessed that was more of a pick 'em series and that Chris Sale would be like -130.
Against Verlander in September?
Yeah, I know all that stuff. I'm just – you also have
October?
To –
October?
Yeah, but you have to also respect Chris Sale, who is a tremendous pitcher.
But you also have to look at last year's performance. They knocked the snot out of him in game one.
I get it, but this
and
is
then
a,
they beat him. Then they hit him
this,
hard in the
this
second
lineup
appearance.
Is a better lineup for the Red Sox too.
Yeah,
it's a much better lineup. So you can't. I don't really care as much about what happened last year. I care about what happened this year because if we don't care about where Evan Gattis and Jose Altuve and Alex Bregman were in April and June and all that stuff, how can we care about what happened in November?
No. But okay, and that goes to the second point here. David Price never won a postseason game.
David Price is a problem right now.
He didn't make it
two innings.
He
didn't make it two innings. He's in a slide right now.
Except when he faced the Astros, he looked pretty damn good.
He has not been hot lately.
I do not think. He faced the Astros in the last week of the season and looked pretty damn good.
Yeah.
Now, the Astros won the game because they got to the bullpen.
His own
but I don't.
Booing him the other day.
They were, but here's the deal. I really, really think that is going to be so played up. And here's the deal. Here's the problem with that is that, you know, the more the monkey is on your back, the tougher it is, obviously, because you want to get that monkey off your back, right? So he's going to press even harder. He's thinking about it. Sale's thinking about it even. His two performances against the Astros last year, look what he said. I sucked. It was terrible. It was humbling. Everything about it was terrible. You think he's not pressing a little bit?
Right.
While Verlander's going to stand up there like a Brad Peacock and be like, look at me. I'm pitching great right now. And, oh, by the way, I got this right here. It's called a ring.
You know, it is interesting, though, that David Price, it's been consistent. His worst performances have all been as a Red Sox. Other than his first year as a full-time starter. I mean, he's been disappointing for the Red Sox relative to what they paid and what they expected him to be a number one, and he hasn't pitched like a number one. And you look at the wins, 17-9, then last year 6-3 with injury, this year 16-7. But when you look at his WHIP numbers, his ERA, his numbers are not dominant. And the WHIP number this year is a 1.14, which is his best as a Red Sox. But it's not what they paid for.
Right. No. No, they haven't gotten their money's worth out of here. I don't think that there's any question about that. But look where they are. And he's their game two starter. But here's the deal is I fully expect David Price. They'll say it 1,000 times, David Price in the postseason. Watch. He is going to pitch lights out. And it is going to be – that's the under I would take. I think I'd take the over in game one, over 7 runs scored. And I would take the under in game two with Cole and Price on the mound. Because Price does give the Astros problems. Go look at his game log and see what he did against the Astros.
Well, since September 19th, his last 3 starts, 5 innings, 5 1/3, 4 earned runs, 5 innings, 3 earned runs. And then last one was what? 1 2/3 and 6 earned runs? Or what was that? I mean,
he has
not been good his last 3 outings. And I hope it stays that way. I hope it stays that way because I think you're going to see a very highly focused Chris Sale. I think you're going to see one of the best Chris Sales you've seen, and I think this is going to be one that does not get outside of the 3-2 mark. And we already know how Justin Verlander locks in the postseason. But it's a hot-hitting Astro team. It's a deadly lineup for the Red Sox. That's what makes this series so intriguing. This is probably the most intriguing baseball series that we've seen in years and years and years. Very similar, I thought, to the Dodgers and Astros, because the Dodgers had a really potent lineup last year. It was a deep lineup from early to deep. Dodgers had a bunch of guys who could hit home runs. So did the Astros. Dodgers had a great bullpen. Astros had, a talented group of a couple. I shouldn't say a talented group of starters. They had Justin Verlander, who was carrying. And then they had a Charlie Morton, who was starting to get a little bit hot. In this series, you've got two Hall of Famers, likely, in Verlander and Chris Sale, provided Sale keeps doing what he does. But then when you look at with the bullpen of the Astros, you look at the lineup of both teams, and you look at the managers, frankly, both really good, and Cora knows the Astros. This is – name me a better series that you've seen.
No, this is the World Series.
On paper.
This is the World Series.
It really
even
is.
Even though it's the AL. September 7th against Houston, 6 1/3, 2 earned runs,
and then the Astros,
10 strikeouts, 2 walks.
And then tell me how the rest of that game went.
No,
the
but they got to the bullpen.
Yeah.
The bullpen.
But, yeah.
All right, taking a break, live from Kingwood Country Club. We are here for the Bad Pants Open, which benefits Texas Children's Hospital. If you get a chance, come on by. If you haven't played in this thing, you need to. It's a lot of fun. Live right here, Kingwood Country Club. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Boston, Lance. Can't believe Lance thinks the Sox are going to sweep us. Is Sale fully back? His velocity was down when he came back. No, he's back. He was throwing hard against the Yankees, so he is back. Yeah, I thought so too. I thought, man, sweet. But actually, he did hit 94 even in that first time he was back. So that was he's fine. I don't know. Did they get to Sale like they got to him last year? And it's here's the deal: is when you don't have success that first time out, you're going to be pressing harder. And now Price is going
to
be pressing.
I don't think they get to Sale. I think Price they slaughter. Why are you so worried about Price?
Because of the last outing against them.
But Sale's a killer. Why are you more worried about Price than Sale?
Because the last outing,
he gave up two
when
runs.
When Sale was our biznut.
He gave up two runs. He didn't even get through seven innings.
He got two runs and 10 strikeouts.
So what? The Astros strike out, big deal. Everyone strikes out.
No.
He was really good in that game, and then he started to fade.
No, our Astros don't strike out.
Then he started to fade. Chris Sale's David Price is just a guy. He'd be battling right now for the.
You're not worried.
He'd be battling with Fromber on the Astros rotation.
This is one of the best
series.
Astros
would be like, do we go Fromber or Price here as a fifth starter in this game against the Orioles in this series? That's what they'd be saying.
That'd be saying? Fromber?
God, I don't know. Fromber's awfully good. And it's the Orioles. Let's go Fromber. Price, join McHugh and McCullers. Well, you're in the bullpen.
So you're saying McCullers isn't there?
No.
Because Fromber's is in the rotation.
Right, McCullers is hurt.
McCullers is hurt.
In this scenario, yeah.
But he's
getting ready to come back in my scenario.
Honestly, this is the best series that I can remember. 108 versus 103.
Dude, I'm hyped for this like I was for Rockets and Warriors, where I felt like last year it's going to be a little different Warriors. This is a little different Rocket team. And
who's the Warriors here, though?
I think the Astros are the Warriors.
Yeah.
And the Red Sox are going to be, they'll come up with some kind of arm issue. Chris Sale.
Or they could go 0-27.
Game 7.
What? Oh, do you know what 0-27 is? A no-hitter.
Ooh. Astros going to get a no-hitter. can't believe this.
Over 27.
Damn, I just wonder if it's going to be a perfect game. Who gets it? It's got to be Verlander, right? Verlander?
Oh.
Verlander gets it?
I don't know. It could be Charlie Effin Morton.
I don't feel like he's going to go nine.
It could be Keuchel.
Could be.
It could be.
I don't feel like that's the most likely choice, but it could be. Hey, I didn't feel like Charlie Morton was the best pitcher on the staff by the end of last year. There's Charlie Morton. You're like, you basically don't want to see Charlie Morton because guess who didn't win in game six? Justin Verlander. And here comes Charlie Morton and Lance McCullers, kind of really Charlie Morton. Charlie Morton just said, well, I can tell you what's going to happen now. You won't touch me, and I will be the most dominant pitcher in baseball. Charlie Morton was almost a Hall of Famer last year, basically, by the end of the year.
Well, isn't his glove in the Hall of Fame after that performance?
Yeah.
In Game 7? I'm pretty sure he's
– his heart is in our
Hall. No, they didn't take his heart out.
I mean, Charlie Morton is in our heart Hall of Fame.
Jackie thinks you're Boston Lance, and Clint can't believe you think the Sox are going to sweep us. What is wrong with you?
I did not say that. I said I think Sale's going to be tough, and I think David Price is going to be trash.
Whatever. Whatevs. Okay? You don't believe in our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State.
No, I do I do think that series should be a lot closer to pick. I mean, that was a really, really good Red Sox. I feel like there's a little recency with the Astros taking care of the Indians, and a lot of it was the Indians' bullpen. You know, the Astros were always getting to that bullpen in games 2 and 3.
But I think you forget about last year. I mean, again.
No, I remember. It's a different. I don't put last year into this. Last year, Carlos Correa was a much better player. Like, what happened last year is irrelevant
to
me.
He just homered his last game.
I can refer back to it, but it's not. Boston Red Sox are a way better team than last year.
And
I think Houston's a different team this year.
Carlos is having a little problem walking around, so that may be an issue.
Carlos Correa came out and said, yeah, back's still not right. I'm like, ugh.
Even though I'm homering, you know, all those homers, I'm still.
I don't know, homering. I homered.
Well, all those homers are taking a toll on this.
He did have one at the end of the year, and then he had one in the but, you know, I've said all along, I mean, if anything Carlos Correa gives you is gravy. For me, Carlos, we know he's a little banged up. We know mentally he's not really there, but he's still fielding his position really well, and that's fine. I'm not going to overly focus. I think people are focusing too much on, frankly, he's become kind of just a guy in the lineup right now. We know he has a great name. We're all pulling for him, all that stuff. But Carlos right now is just a defensive shortstop. That's where he is. And I've just seen too many people hyper focus on Carlos Correa. Even when it was 2-0, I had to tell one guy, I'm like, who cares what Carlos's numbers are? The Astros are getting it done. Like, why focus on a guy? I think sometimes we as fans have to find the guy, like, what's wrong? Even if things are good. Remember we did it with Dave Clark where we had whole radio shows about Dave Clark, the fourth outfielder. Everyone wants to focus on what are we going to complain about that's bad? And sometimes, I mean, the end result is the Astros are really good. We all know about Carlos Correa. Who cares?
Yeah.
The main thing is that they win a World Series. And I don't think pulling Carlos Correa out is the answer. I really don't.
So, looking up and down their lineup, Betts versus Reddick, that's a no-brainer.
That's an easy one.
Betts wins. Benintendi against Marwin. Benintendi.
Yeah, although it does make you pause for a second because Marwin right now is –
Marwin is yeah.
– he looks like 17 Marlin right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I don't know. Marwin. That's probably – you know what? It's probably a wash.
I think it's pretty close it's pretty to
the
push
yeah.
right now because
you
got to go
by
where they are now.
Yeah, and you want to give them like $200,000 next year. Okay. Steve Pierce at
first.
You're
trying to give Marwin like $15 million.
Steve Pierce at first or Yuli?
Yuli. I always go Yuli because I already know Pena is going to –
This Steve Pierce dude came out, and he had an 890 OPS this year.
Yeah, he had a good season. I just know that I've just seen too many times where Yuli gets opportunities, Yuli capitalizes. Once again this year, he was what, top five with batting average with runners in scoring position.
Yeah.
When does he not do
that?
No,
but he has been late, his swing isn't there right now. So that's iffy. J.D. Martinez against Tyler White.
J.D.
Well, Xander Bogaerts versus Correa.
Xander.
Yep. The rest is Astros. Kinsler against Altuve. Nunez against Bregman. Bradley against Springer. Vasquez and Machete is probably a wash.
Mm-hmm. You have more for the Red Sox, but that's to be expected. I mean, their lineup is tough.
Yeah.
It's really not.
They were a better hitting team this year. Much better hitting
team. But really,
team.
This is an apples and oranges. The apples and apples is going Chris Sale versus David Price versus going the entire.
Yeah. Well, here's where the Astros, this is where from last year's team, Bogaerts over Correa, you wouldn't have said that. You would have never said that last year.
Right.
Right. So, I mean, that's where they took over because of where Correa is. Otherwise, I mean, everything else probably played according to Hoyle. Benintendi and Marwin it's probably a wash. I don't know who I'd rather have at the plate, to tell you the truth, because Marwin has been so freaking clutch. Oh my God.
He's had a great series. But, every series is a brand new one. Jose Altuve versus the Red Sox is great. Jose Altuve versus the Dodgers was not. No. As it moved along, it's a brand new series every time. That's why I don't like getting too caught up in what just happened, because I saw a bunch of resets last year for different guys in different series. George Springer was one of the worst baseball players of all time in the first couple games. The Golden Sombrero. It wasn't until the back. I think didn't he start off slow in the second one?
He might have struck out.
And then I think at the end of the game he came through. And then he was World Series MVP.
Yeah. No. But this is another point too. Is a lot of people wanted them to play 18 innings and then play again on tonight, so that they could. I didn't.
What
I wanted
mean?
Them to end that series.
I
did not want them to be playing every other day. Baseball is a lot of getting into a rhythm.
Yeah.
And if the Astros were sitting all this time while they were playing, I don't think that would have been a plus for the Astros. I'm glad that their series against the Yankees, the Red Sox, went four games and not five. Because now their pitching might not have lined up perfectly.
When are the Astros and Yankees playing? Astros and Red Sox going to play again?
Saturday.
That's a long break. What's the difference?
Both teams got a long break.
Yeah.
If the Yankees Red Sox went five
games,
as opposed
to one team getting a break.
Right.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're both on a break. But I don't see. I wonder about that at the end of 165, because that's where they are right now. At the end of 165, I've still got to believe that some rest is not a bad thing for some of these guys. Right. I mean, it can't be a bad thing for them to get some
rest. No, but you also
rest.
Want to stay in a rhythm. I've seen Remember when Colorado was red hot a few years ago, the World Series, they swept and then they had to sit and wait for I think it was the Red Sox they had to wait for.
This is an All-Star break. This isn't crazy. This isn't a long wait. They'll be fine.
No.
You know who's out of but rhythm?
I'm not saying they'll be fine. I'm saying I'm glad that the Red Sox got Odell.
Hurry.
Well, why don't you hurry and tell people about saving money?
Let me tell you about Bill Advisor. Bill Advisor will hurry up and save you money. If you go to BillAdvisor.com, you can see what they are. I've always told people this. This is one of my favorite people, favorite advertisers of all time to speak for, because I only speak for people whose services I use and I really believe in. And Bill Advisor, to me, what's unique about Bill Advisor is, yes, they're a local company, but they work nationally. They can work for anybody, because what they do is they go negotiate your rates down in monthly bills like internet and cell phone, home phone, cable, satellite, all these areas. And they'll look at your bill and they know what the norm is. They know what the entry rates are for customers. They know what the normal rate. They know where there are fees that are just added in that they can get eliminated that you wouldn't know any better. What they do is basically go in and try to get you new customer rates, and they're quite often successful, and sometimes they can even get you the bill credits as well. Bill Advisor is so good because the main thing is they're out there making sure that you are taken care of from a new customer standpoint, and no one wants to lose your business nowadays. There's so much cord cutting. There's so many options with internet and with cell phone that they're very, very competitive, and these companies want to keep you, and so they're willing to go that extra mile to do whatever it takes to keep you if you can get to customer retention. That's where Bill Advisor goes. Text GO to 232323 and let Bill Advisor start working on your bills today. By the end of the day, you could save upwards of $2,000, just like I did the first year I used them, and it costs just $12.99 a month. Text GO to 232323. It's BillAdvisor.com.
Tell us all, tell us all, tell us all, tell us all.
on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Is the handicapping legend joining you this morning? No, he was on last Friday. He was on last Friday.
Yeah, we may have to do it every other week.
What's up, Moose?
I'm not sure the crowd could handle the Hatchet Man here.
I don't think
because we're broadcast over. I don't think it's a great idea.
This is not the best place. And you won't be here tomorrow, so Hatchet Man will be back next week right here on ESPN 97.5.
Although we'll we got Moose Rosenfeld is going to join us a little bit later in the show. We'll talk to him about. You guys don't know a lot of the stuff that went on behind the scenes at 610. For people who've listened to us for a while, it's an interesting story. I told some of it on a podcast to Jason Barrett from Barrett Sports Media. And there's a lot of people who listen to it and really like the podcast because I went into stuff that went on behind the scenes a little bit at 610. And
if it was Moose and Dickey, we'd still be there.
Yeah.
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 The management got really terrible. So
management got terrible. We went to a 1560 where we had signal issues and still beat their station.
Yeah.
Like, that's how bad it was. And then they were out after a couple of years after we left. They got rid of them, but management there. But they're the same ones who said, you know what would be a great idea? Let's take what we have with John and Lance that's really successful and the highest rated show. Let's add a third person who doesn't fit with them.
Right.
And let's change the name of the show from The Bench to The John and Lance Show. Because when you have a brand like Mini Wheats or like Captain Crunch, let's change it from Captain Crunch to Crunchy Sweet Cereal. And let's see how that goes. Like, boy, you guys have some amazing branding concepts.
It was terrible. The PD of a sports station told us one time, I don't really like sports. Oh, all right. Good thing you're in this business. Former Mets and Phillies outfielder Lenny Dykstra indicted on three counts by a grand jury.
Come on. There's no way Lenny Dykstra got in trouble.
He faces charges for possession of meth, possession of cocaine, and making terroristic threats.
Come on. Meth and cocaine with Lenny? There's no way. Well, terroristic threats? That doesn't sound like... Wait, does this involve when he was in the back of a cab and pulled the gun on the guy and all that stuff, or is this a different thing?
He put him right into the head of the Uber driver and threatened to kill him.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was back in May. Why is he just getting indicted now? Why are we waiting so long?
No one says what the Uber driver did.
Right, well, that's
to make
true.
Him upset. Did he take a different route?
Lance, okay. This is not the right time. This is not the time or the place to be making fun of what people do and how they deserve a gun to the back of their head, okay?
I'd say that.
Let me ask you this. We never got to this. Is it okay for LeBron to be giving his 14-year-old and his 10-year-old wine? To me, this was a non-story. Yesterday, the usual suspect spent, I don't know how much time they did. I was listening, and he spent a bunch of time on this, whether or not it's okay. Duh. What's the problem with giving your kid alcohol? This is the problem I'm having with the world today.
I didn't. Dell, are you listening right now?
If you're European, you give your kid some alcohol at a young age.
Or Cajun.
You have drive-through daiquiri huts.
Because, you know, I always considered the Cajuns to be just like the Europeans. Just real, you know.
Well, different, though.
Yeah, very different.
Very different. Very
well,
different.
You both speak different languages from normal Americans. You have lax thoughts about drinking as far as your kids are concerned, or really just drinking overall.
Yeah.
I feel like the Cajuns are – I feel the Cajuns are like free love, free sex, free wine. I just like the Euros. You got some similarities.
Well, what about LeBron? Is it okay for him to be giving his kids wine? I think so. I have no problem with this.
I mean, they're his kids. Man. I don't know.
Yeah, they're his kids. Let him do what he wants. Why are people people are up in arms about this?
Hey, you know
why? Raise your kids. Okay?
Because everyone is in everyone's business.
That's exactly right.
Everyone is
get
in
out
everyone's
my business.
Business. Unless you see them chugging. Look, if there's a video he puts it on Instagram and Snapchat. I've seen kids with guns on Instagram carrying guns around like in a house. A woman who gave her kid was smoking weed and cussing. Yeah. This kid was like four. I've seen some horrific things. I don't think LeBron's not going to.
So did you call the police on him? No.
No, I kind of stay in my lane.
Yeah, that's
I just
all.
Think you're trash if you do that. But that's,
you can do
you know,
what you want. That's your kid.
But I'm not part of the internet lynch mob. Listen. I'm not part of the. I've never been called to jury. I had a jury summons here in Houston. I've never had one for the Twitter trials where they said, Lance, you've been summoned to a Twitter trial. You better show up.
You don't want that summons. You do not want.
Well, no, I'm talking about being on the jury pool.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What if you were?
No, what are you talking about? It's just like Handmaid's Tale. You're going to be found guilty, and they're going to take an eye out or a hand off.
No, you don't want any part of that. Okay.
It'll be 3 days of fury.
Listen, don't leave your – I'm going to break the window if you leave your kid in a hot car, okay? But other than that, do what you want.
I've always wondered about this. Dale, you can jump in on this too. When Twitter is mad at you and Twitter decides that they're going to gang up and try to pillage you to death for fun because people on Twitter don't really care that much about stuff.
No,
they like to be part of a
right.
– Yeah, I mean, they just like to be part of a lynch mob that can try to end someone's career, life, or whatever. For fun, when they do that, if you don't pick up your phone or you don't turn on social media at all, does it exist? Like if
that's a pretty good question.
When Twitter goes for Twitter justice.
Yeah.
If you don't even look at social media, does it even exist to you?
Yeah. No. Well, you don't care what people are saying. Hey, listen. What people with me. I don't shoot back. I just go, mute. You know what? You no longer exist
you
to
shoot
me.
Back a little bit.
I'll shoot back, but then mute.
Yeah. They don't, no, that's the
because
best.
Because I'm last word guy.
I've done this before. I've done this.
They think they're last
now
word.
Now I'm going to mute you just so they know they're not going to come get a comment.
Right.
Because then that, I would assume it really pisses
no,
me
no, no, no. But then it's mute, and I never hear from them again. And you know what? I got the last word in. So there. Oh, Steve Lease. Oh, we had a meeting last night, Touchdown Club, where we were picking players of the year for the private school players of the year. Mm-hmm. Steve Lease wasn't there, the head coach of Episcopal, but he's able to send out pictures of him and Marvin Wilson, who was back at the school. That's big Marvin.
Yeah.
You know Marvin? Mm-hmm. He played Florida State. I don't know if he –
I don't know him.
You need to get on Walker Little, sophomore
him.
At Stanford, left tackle.
I'm not on anybody that's not draft eligible. I got enough guys to
next
deal
year.
With. I've got enough players to deal with. That's
next year, I'm predicting top two pick.
Oh, I'll look at him. Actually, I have to look at him for the Joe Moore Awards, our offensive line awards. So Stanford, somebody we always look at Stanford.
Yeah, but they're having a rough time blocking for Bryce Love.
They're not. It's not a good year for offensive lines, and I think Texas is going to get in. I'm actually fighting for A&M also to get some love for the Joe Moore. I think A&M's offensive line is playing.
Nice
it's
show.
Just they didn't run the ball against Alabama, but no one does.
No.
You know, so I'm actually fighting for Texas and Texas A&M. I think both of them deserve to be on the midseason honor roll on an offensive line.
Look at this. This did happen. We were up in the suite. What game was it? Was it a Texans game or an Astros game? I forget.
Del, make sure you listen to this.
Melts, you know, Ian.
Yeah.
His son was like six, and I was giving him a beer.
Del! Now, Del! Giving other kids beer?
Listen. Yeah.
That's probably not
I
great.
Said, hey, you want some of this? And he was like,
Can you please tell Twitter what happened?
Are you talking about Jake? Is that
no,
the kid?
No, not Jake. Oh. Alex, his younger brother.
Oh.
He was like six. He's going to end up at UT next year. What's the problem?
Use your inside voice.
Yeah.
Don't be telling people you gave a
six-year-old
beer. Well,
if he's going to end up at UT, though, chances are he's going to be smoking all kinds of weed. So, I don't know if that was a great move. All right, taking one here, 744 ESPN 97.5, live from Kingwood, Texas Children's Hospital. Bad pants open, don't go anywhere.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Presented by Coors Light. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is there an under-over on how many times Marwin will call time and step out of the box for each at-bat and make the pitcher mad? That is something. Do you ever see Marwin, what he does? He takes his helmet off. And he uses his sleeves to wipe off his face. He sweats a lot at the plate. And it doesn't even matter if it's cold out. He sweats a lot at the plate. But he does do that, you know, and he just takes the 1 foot out of the box. And you know the pitcher's standing there and waiting. Marwin don't care. You know what? That pisses him off. That hit that he had in the corner against Cleveland, that was ball four. It was a pitch that, first of all, he shouldn't have been able to reach.
Right.
And then he stood there. He thought, well, that's – wait. Well, that's in the corner.
Yeah.
And he game two, the big double to win the game?
Mm-hmm.
The two R was a single or a double? I think it was a double. He's just Marwin.
Postseason Marwin is
here's back. The deal, though. I think they'll keep Yuli in the four hole because you got two lefties in Boston.
Yeah.
When they come back here, though, for Eovaldi and Porcello, I could see Marwin moving up to four.
Yeah, it's possible.
Because, you know, Marwin left-handed against those righties is probably a better option than Yuli right-handed against those righties.
It's possible.
It depends on how Yuli's hitting. It depends on how I want to see Yuli get back into it. But Marwin's been money. We got
John Granato's upset that LeBron didn't have his kids chugging Coors Lights.
Well, that's on them. Wine. What do you want? How do you want to start your kids with wine?
Body and blood, baby.
Get them.
Body and blood.
Coors Lights. Apparently,
you know what Snack said about my daughter? She went. He goes. Sometime I think Marty just goes up for communion just so she can drink wine. I'm like, what are you talking about? The Puritan? My daughter doesn't even. Oh, I recorded something. You got to hear about. You saw my daughter yesterday.
Yeah.
She got right after that. She got a little upset.
Do you feed her? Because she's skinny, that little girl.
She is. She swims. She's a little swimmer. She's an athlete. She's a dog. I always tell her. I said, you got a lot of dog in you. Don't let it. I said, that's why you're tougher than your brothers.
Oh, I said, don't say it. Your kids are listening right now.
Then you know what? Step up.
Mason.
Step up then.
Then Mason's going to give her a fresh one because
Mason's
of you.
Mason's my best athlete.
Oh, really? Watch
care.
How tough you are, Marty.
I saw Mason laying on the ground at 10:30. I said, what are you doing on the ground in the bathroom reading a book? Get up. Stop reading books. What are you doing?
Wait a minute. 10:30 at night?
Yeah.
Wait, why is he reading a book on the bathroom floor?
I have no idea because the dog's in there. I don't know because the dog's in there. He's laying by the dog. I don't know. He's reading a book. Generally speaking,
kids
I think that's good.
Kids just lay on the bathroom floor. That's what they do.
Snack sleeps in there on the bathroom floor, around the bathroom like he was some drunk.
Look, sometimes the bathroom floor is cool.
No. Trust me, my wife will have that sometimes in the bathroom.
Yeah, but there's a reason for that.
Yeah.
Unless Mason's throwing down a keg.
Well, no, but there's a reason for it also because it's cool.
Yeah,
if you're on a tile, you know, it feels a little better when you're not when you're not doing great. I've been there.
When you're stinky drunk,
I've fallen asleep in a shower. I've been in a bathroom. Hey, listen, I've been there too, but sometimes I joke about like, we're out and it's winding down and I realize that she's crossed over and there's really not going to be any coming back because it's a roller coaster. It goes when it goes down.
Did she cross over at my daughter's wedding?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she crossed over.
Guess where she slept.
Yes.
I'm just going to put the pillow down here for you, okay?
I can tell when F-bombs start flying that she's.
Yeah. I was going to put the I'm going to let you sleep right here.
Let's get Ken in here. We got Major at the top of the hour, so let's get Ken in. Hopefully we can get that and Bruce in. What do you say, Ken?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
I just had a little note about European drinking. I thought you guys would find entertaining. So I'm from Denmark. I was born there. We lived here since I was five. But in Denmark, mostly Lutheran country, so confirmations are a big deal there. You get confirmed around 13, 14. Well, it's been a long-standing tradition in Denmark that the day after confirmation is called Blue Monday. And that's basically widely recognized for all the kids. They skip school, and they go out, and they go bar hopping all day, and they drink all day long and just get hammered.
At that age, like the 14-year-olds?
14-year-olds?
Yeah.
I love that. Why don't we do that here? Why can't we be like the Danish? Is it Danish or the Danes? What are you?
Dane.
Yeah. Why can't we be like the Danish? They got great breakfast food and the 14-year-olds drink.
They anyway, all skip school on Monday and go get hammered.
That's right.
So, I'll ask you this question. Here's a separate question I need to ask you, Ken. Who wants to be at a bar with a bunch of 14-year-olds? Where are they going? You're like, oh, I'm out of here. I don't need this.
How about that wisdom you'll be imparted by a 14-year-old?
I know, like, yeah.
That is kind of true.
All the 14-year-olds came in here.
That is awesome, though, Ken. I love the Danes now. All right?
I don't feel like that's a great idea.
I don't know. Denmark. It sounds like a really white country. Doesn't it sound like it's a lot of white people?
Oh, it looks like a really white country too, John. Don't worry.
Yeah. No, I know. I'm just saying. I just think there's just – it's got to be. You know, it's just got to be. Dale, you should go there, though.
But
both
if
of these
you actually,
about drinking.
When I was up in Sweden, I went up – when I was in Barcelona, I went up to Sweden. I was a big hit. There, you didn't see a lot of black-haired, darker people up there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sweden's
and then
changed.
Down in Spain, my buddy who was –
Sweden's
blonde,
way different now.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It's changed a lot, yeah. But not back then. But my buddy who was really, really blonde was a big hit in Spain. Yeah, the girls really liked him because they didn't have much of that around. So, girls like what they can't get too much of. I guess I don't know.
I guess don't. I mean,
is that
every
your breakdown?
Day,
is that your breakdown of women and girls and what they like?
Yeah. Every day I get there's always a fork in the road where I think, you know. I just feel like the commissioner is just concerned about this segment.
I don't think the commissioner's listening right now.
What if I get an email like, hey, just want to let you know I really thought the last segment was funny.
Listen, if he is.
Roger. What the hell?
If he is listening, go fix the quarterback sack rule.
No, everything's going fine there, commissioner.
Well, actually, it wasn't a big deal this week.
No.
Why don't you talk about.
Well, you knew they were going to they're going to be aggressive with calling it early on in the year.
Freaking Danny yesterday. I'm sitting in the 7th seat. He's in the 2nd seat. I swear to God, I was way up.
They'll play the poker music.
He beat me I don't know how many times because it's your time for you to talk about by your social.
No, I know. That's what I'm
saying. So here's the deal. You might have one nemesis. You know how much money he won off just
that's
off
the. I love being the nemesis.
Yeah.
When you get in somebody's head,
yes.
When you beat them two or three times,
no,
you know.
He beat me for the 5th time, and I said, I can't be. I'm out.
I can't play you anymore, and that's what happens. Every poker table has a different dynamic that goes on, and when you're going over a prime social, you can get those cash games like John likes to play. I like the tournaments. I really do because you can go in at noon and get started. If you get there before noon, you get a $5,000 additional chip, so instead of $15,000 starting stack, you start at $20,000 in chips. But here's the great thing. You can also go late registration, so you can show up anytime before 2:00 and still get in. Everyone else can be playing. You can just say, you know what, I'm going to get there about 1:45. I'll also pay the extra, $100 for the additional $15,000 add-on, and you can start off with $30,000 in chips for $200 right there on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday is a little more expensive on the tournament, but you have a chance to win more, obviously. And then Sunday, they start the tournaments at 2:00. Cash games going on all the time. It's Thursday, so that means 24 hours a day they are open right now. And yes, you can get action. It's the hottest poker room in the entire city of Houston. They've taken the players away from the other places because everyone wants to go to such a nice venue, and that's what they have there. It's 7801 Westheimer. Great people, great food. Drinks ready for you, and of course, the best poker you're going to find in the city of Houston. 7801 Westheimer, just between Fondren and Hillcroft. You're going to find it a beautiful freestanding building with free valet parking, security, and much, much more. Go to primesocialtx.com for more information.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.